How thankful I am that once again I stand before you with naught but the Word of God between us. What a privilege and an honor it is. Today is December the something, 29th. That means that come Wednesday, it's a new year. 2025. I never dreamed that I would live to see 2025. Just wasn't in the realm of probability. There's a lot before us in 2025. There's wars. War in Ukraine and Russia, war in the Middle East, war in Africa, war in South America, war in Chicago, disasters, tornadoes in Texas, earthquakes in Southeast Asia, governments falling. The dictator in Syria was thrown out. I read yesterday some of his family was imprisoned. The government in Germany fell. The government in France fell. Internationally, there's much that might be of concern. And let us not forget global warming. Which, by the way, you, very fortunately this morning, if you stay through the end of the sermon, I have the solution to global warming. And we will hear that toward the end of the sermon. And nationally, we have to consider the Congress is working on a budget. Those of us that depend upon Congress to send us that monthly check. yeah, it's a consequence. We got the whole issue of the illegal aliens and what to do with them and how to deal with them. And just, would you ever have thought the FBI would be corrupt? Talk about not possible. But here we face the real, well, but we have a new president. A new president's coming in. That is, if they inaugurate him. And so I guess we might, there might be some, well, of course, some say that that's not such a good thing. There are those that are saying, especially on Channel 11, I think it is, that this may not be a good thing. Property taxes here locally, goodness gracious. Who can afford to live in Bullock County anymore? You would think we were in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the way property taxes are. The new factory out here on I-16, building electric cars that nobody's going to buy. And they're going to drain the Florida aquifer, some people are saying. But then again, there's my family, our family, the house, those of you that have been over to my house, you know that there's lots of work that needs to be done. Perhaps there's a job at issue. New job, old job, no job. Health. And then there's church. I don't know how much longer I can put up with these elders. who died and left them in charge anyway. 2025 is a new year, but it comes with old issues. 2025, just like every other new year before, we're confronted with issues, concerns, worries. What then shall we say to these things? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's consider first what Jesus had to say. As we read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Of course, we're reading a section here from what we know is the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, we find that Jesus has much to teach, teaches many principles to live by. He talks about humility, sadness, grief, goodness, peace, submission, hope, persecution. He teaches at length about how to keep the Mosaic law. And then he concludes that teaching by saying, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, yeah. Jesus continued with life lessons for the faithful. And Matthew concludes his record of Jesus' teaching by observing, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." Now, who among us is going to deny? Who among us would not agree that Jesus teaches with authority? That what Jesus says has authority? It's right, it's good, it's proper, and it's to be obeyed. I would dare say that if we surveyed everyone in Statesboro, everyone in Bullock County, probably everyone in Southeast Georgia that calls themselves a Christian, and asked them, "Do you think Jesus should be obeyed?" How many amens do you think we're going to get? Pretty close to 100%. Amen. Yeah, we all agree on that. Except maybe that perfect part, I don't know. This lesson that we read today comes from pretty much in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a very practical lesson, which does not leave us a whole lot of wiggle room on interpretation. It pretty much means what it says. Do not be anxious. Or in the vernacular, don't worry. And I think all of us want to obey. We want to obey Jesus. We know that what Jesus says is right and it's good. We want to obey Jesus, to not be anxious, to not worry. Until, of course, there's a problem. A real problem. Instead of the raise I thought I was going to get, they're talking about cuts. And the car keeps on making that funny noise. Daddy's got cancer. My wife, my husband, my kids, the job, the church. Don't tell me not to worry, preacher. I've got problems. I've got real problems. Well, let me suggest to you that Jonah had real problems. And Jonah compounded his problems by unbelief and disobedience. You want to think about Jonah for just a minute? God tells Jonah, you're my man, you're my preacher, you're my prophet. I want you to go up to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to them. Preach to them repentance. Call them to confess their sin. Now, I'm here to tell you, the people in Nineveh had some sins to confess. They were a bad lot. God told Jonah, Nineveh is where I want you. Jonah said, that's like going to the south side of Chicago. Nah, I'm fleeing. I'm fleeing from God. Jonah, you see, didn't believe that the Lord God was sovereign, that he was in charge, that he was God over all the world. And Jonah thought that he could run away from God. Jonah compounded his problems with unbelief and disobedience. That it was faith and obedience that turned things around for Jonah. There at the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a great fish, Jonah was distressed, destitute, desperate. Jonah had real problems. And what did he do? He turned to God. We're told in Scripture that Jonah prayed. When my life was fading away, Jonah says, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation, Jonah says, belongs to the Lord. Jonah had problems. Jonah had real problems. It had been, it was, and ever would be the Lord God that Jonah could turn to. It was the Lord God that Jonah could depend upon. It was the Lord God who was Jonah's only hope. And Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. You got problems? You got problems? Well, there's good news. God knows what your problems are. Jesus assures us that we can have confidence. We can be sure God knows your situation. God knows what your problems are. God knows what you need. Now, as we talked about Jonah and Jonah's prayer, did you notice how Jonah threw out that ridiculous notion that idol worship was of any benefit? Let me go back and see if it... Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Where'd that come from? Who said anything about idol worship? Here, Jonah, with all the problems he's got, he's telling us that vain idols, those who pay attention, regard to vain idols, vain ain't, the word vain in Scripture, well, the verb vain anywhere else means empty, of no account, of no consequence, nothing. So, is there any connection between worry and idolatry? Well, let's look at the Bible. Matthew 6:25, where we began to read today, begins with the word therefore. Now, do you really believe that Bill was going to read a text and overlook the conjunction that it starts with? You know that ain't going to happen. Therefore, so therefore what? So we have to look and say, what is Jesus saying therefore to? So immediately prior to Matthew 6:25, we have, of course, Matthew 6:24, where Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Talk about no wiggle room. Can't leave that open to interpretation. That's a pretty absolute statement. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. It appears that Jesus saw a certain conflict between the worship of the one true God and the love of money. And he was pressing home the point. Therefore, Jesus presses home the point in the sin of worry. The sin of worry. Worry is idolatry. Worry is that upon which you rely, that which you depend, that which you hope, expect is going to provide, supply your needs, solve your problem. Worry is your expectation that that's not going to happen. That's what worry is. And if it's money or anything else in this world that you're depending upon, that's idolatry. It's what you trust. It's where your hope lies. You cannot serve God and money. So maybe your idol isn't a statue of a dragon. And maybe what you worry about, what you worry won't be able to support you. But Jesus certainly thinks the metaphor is close enough to make the point. For both are a misdirection of your heart and a lack of hope in the Lord God. Do not be anxious. Don't worry. Throughout Scripture, throughout our record of Jesus' teaching, we see that Jesus repeatedly calls his followers to abandon all that is of this world and to trust him. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. You shall have no other gods before me. So Jesus poses, as we consider the exclusivity of these pronouncements. Don't depend on anything other than the way, the truth, and the life. You should have no other gods, none other that you depend upon, where your trust lies, where your hope. Let's look at those six questions. Six rhetorical questions that Jesus poses in this text today. Jesus said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Well, the presupposed answer, a rhetorical question, the presupposed answer is obviously yes. Life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Yes. So it means greater interest ought then be for that which is greater. What's greater? Life. Life. Jesus said, are you not of more value than they, talking about birds of the air? Obviously, most will answer, yes, I'm more valuable creation than birds. So I can reasonably expect that the Creator will take care of me as much as he does the birds. Good question, reasonable answer. Look about you. God takes care of the birds. Sky's full of them. God's going to take care of you. Which of you being anxious, worrying, can add a single hour to his span of life? Obviously, worrying over things won't increase my lifespan. In fact, doctors say that worrying is unhealthy and may actually decrease your lifespan. Jesus asked, why are you anxious about clothing? It's a toughie. Who's anxious about clothing? Who worries about what they're going to wear, what they're going to put on? Unless, of course, you stood in front of the closet this morning and said, of course, you weren't worried about it, but, well, I want to be covered in clothing, and actually, I want to look good. I wouldn't mind making an impression. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Yes. The answer is yes. God has certainly created much beauty in this world that I appreciate. And I should have enough faith to expect God would provide for me as the one he created in his own image. Jesus draws the string, pulls the logic through on these questions by asserting that it is those outside of God's family, Gentiles, sinners, that worry about such things. For those who are in the family of God, he says, your heavenly Father, those who are in the family of God, your heavenly Father knows of all your needs. Therefore, leave the trivial to God. Is God concerned with trivialities? Jesus just said so. He feeds the birds of the air. He made the lilies of the field. He has attended to every iota of concerns and needs in his created world. And he's taking care of you. And he knows all your needs. Leave the trivial to God. And you give yourself to the far weightier matters, the kingdom of God and righteousness. There is life. There is life in the Word of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. God takes care of the rest. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Now let me say, let us be sure that Jesus is not discouraging individual effort, work, or preparing for tomorrow. Quite plainly, the scripture affirms the necessity of work. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, he told them, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." Plain enough? Amen. He says, "For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." The Bible is pretty plain. If you don't work, you don't eat. Jesus himself affirms the wisdom of preparing for the future. Jesus said, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? There is wisdom in being wise in preparations and care for tomorrow, for your needs." This passage that we read this morning is not a commandment against work or against preparing for the future. Not being wise in supplying for yourself, your family, and for others is not at issue here. Yes, be wise, prepare, supply yourself, your family, and others. Jesus' message is, do not let any of this weigh on your mind. Do not let any of this weigh on your mind to such an extent you forget to trust in God. Finally, so what do you do? It's easy enough to say, don't worry, don't be anxious. But what do you do? So we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. God's word tells us, do not be anxious about anything. We heard that part. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. take it to the Lord in prayer, in continuous prayer, being always in prayer. Make your concerns, make your anxieties, make your worries, make your problems known to God. And let me assure you that when you come before the Lord God with that prayer of faith, when you pray in faith of what your concerns, your that which weighs upon you, when you in faith pray to God, that prayer is answered immediately. Done. You need not worry. You have prayed to the sovereign God of all creation, and He has heard you, and His promise is peace. Finally, then, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? You call yourself a believer. You say you are one that trusts in God. You have given your life to Him that He might give life to you. When you worry, when you're anxious, you're dishonoring your Lord and your God. You're defaming Him. You're telling people that He is not able, that He can't be trusted. If God is for us, who can be against us? Don't let that anxiety become a part of your life. Trust in the Lord. Pray. Continuous prayer. Trusting the Lord in faith. He will give you peace. Amen. Let us pray.